I'm Anna.
And I'm Jillian.
And this
is the Hat Picks Podcast.
Just two dope ladies talking about soccer from across the country on the podcast no one asked for.
Are we really funny?
Yes.
Yes. Could we only think that we're really funny? Probably. Do I care? No.
Not even a
little bit. I don't even know how to pretend to care about that.
Nope.
Okay.
Anyway.
We're here to do a podcast.
Welcome to the 10th episode of Hat Picks with Anna and Jillian. Wow, 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 wow.
Incredible. We've made it so far.
Look, I know that there, I feel like we have a lot of people who are probably indifferent to our podcast, probably not a lot of haters. I don't feel like there are people who care enough to hate.
No.
But for all the people who didn't care enough to think that we would get to this point, we did. And we're here in spite of it.
We're here to prove you wrong, all whoever you are.
All the people out there who are so apathetic that they will never listen to this.
Yeah. We proved you wrong. Eat my shorts.
That one. What Anna said. Well, we're so glad to have you here today. What a time to be alive. Well, in general, I guess it's a wild time to be alive. But I just meant in terms of what's happening in the world of women's soccer, because it's so much.
So much.
Yeah. Nice sync up there. Couldn't have an episode without it.
Nope. God forbid we don't say the same thing at the same time.
So this week, we're doing something different because how could we not? Because always. Because there is so much happening in soccer and it's our 10th episode, we are doing an entirely full slate of picks. Like, each of us has three, no shared number one, fuck that, two number ones, because we can, and an extended honorable mention section. So we've got a lot of stuff for you tonight. There's no special topic. It's all straight picks for you. So,
because once again, it's our podcast and we do what we want.
It's going to have to be a title one week. Perhaps it will be this week. Perhaps it will be the 10th anniversary edition. And by anniversary, I mean, we've been doing this since October. So
the 10th episode anniversary.
Yes.
Because that's a word now and I've decided.
We decided. So number three, Jillian's number three this week. Angered James's goal in Reading versus Aston Villa. So I'm just going to let you all know. Up front, I'm going to be real with you. From the start, I picked this because it is a hilarious goal. It was not pretty. It did not show any sort of spectacular amount of skill whatsoever. It was a doink. It was a literal doink. So first of all, there was an excellent Welsh connection happening for this Reading team. We've mentioned it before with some other players, I think. It's happening again. Do all the Welsh national players play for Reading? I don't know, but it's at least
possibly
like four or five of them. I got into the point where I was researching a little bit about Reading and the team, and then I stopped and forgot. So maybe next time I'll find out more about that.
Then I stopped caring.
So, Welsh connection, so pumped, so excited. To begin. I was about to say Wales has a corner kick. Incorrect.
They do not.
Reading has a corner kick. So it's a short ball. So sometimes corner kicks are long and they're chipped in. This was not one of those. So it's a short ball. Rachel Rowe, Welsh, does a give and go off of that. And once she gets it back, the go portion of the give and go. I'm doing a really great job of explaining this.
You've never heard about soccer before.
I'm doing my best to make this accessible. I don't know that it's even working. But okay, so she finds Jess Fishlock. Also Welsh. We've brought up Jess Fishlock a lot, so you should know that.
Yes.
So she, who is at the top of the 18, Fishlock has all kinds of time and space. She gets a real nice shot off through traffic, hand motion of traffic. And Lisa Weiss, who is German, yeah, slaps that shit away. That is the goalie for Aston Villa, by the way. She slaps that shit away. But who is there to doink that shit in? And Garrett James, Welsh, triple Welsh connection, trademark Jillian, February 2021. So James, you know, I said it didn't take a spectacular amount of skill, but I will give James this. Like, she does have the sense to follow Fishlock's shot, but it truly looks like she is, like, surprised by this ball. She stops short to meet it, and it just bounces. It just doinks off her head and into the goal. I mean, I was seriously lolling like the whole time I watched this. Like, it was so funny. But like, good for you, Angerid. And good for you, Wales. Like, what a team. What a great team. Just as a heads up about the type of player that James is, she's not just like a player who happens to be somewhere and gets lucky and doinks balls in a lot. She was like the Welsh Women's Player of the Year in 2017, having previously won Young Women's Player of the Year in Wales, I think two times before, at least. So she's actually a very talented player, so you go. And that's kind of it. Actually, in this game, it ends up being a tie. Aston Villa comes back, and the game is ultimately tied 2-2-2, which isn't bad for Aston Villa. And no offense to all the Aston Villa fans out there listening to this, and I'm looking at you, Steve Schmidt, because you're the only one I know who cares about Aston Villa. It also ended up snowing in this game. So, and another pick this evening. Anna will discuss Aston Villa getting ruined. So, good for them this time around.
Because every other time, not so good.
So, Anna.
Okay, so my number three is Tamika Yallop kicking butt. See what I did? Okay, we'll get there. In the Brisbane Roar versus Melbourne Victory game. That'll be funny in a minute, but it's not funny yet.
Okay, wait. Tamika Yallop. All right, got it. I also have to get that out of the way.
Yeah, Jillian texted me earlier and said, I'm going to be saying her name in an accent. To which I responded, I would expect nothing less.
Tamika Yallop.
Okay, now before we get into her dope goal, I'd like to talk about her name. So for those of you who don't know, which I'm assuming is all of you, Tamika Yallop is an Australian player who currently plays for Brisbane Roar, hence how she scored a goal for them. She's also been a solid player for the Matildas since 2007.
Wow.
Which is when we were all in high school, including her, because she is the same age as us. So go her. Anyway, she's a great player. Has been for some time, but I cannot stress enough how none of that is important. What is important here is that her last name has not always been Yallop. In fact, Yallop did not become her name until relatively recently when she married Kirsty Yallop, who played for New Zealand, also a soccer player. Love it.
Love it.
You know we love a gay love story here. What I'm really, really trying to get to is that before Tamika Yallop was Tamika Yallop, she was Tamika Butt. Her last name was Butt.
Oh my God.
It may seem stupid and insignificant, but to me and to Jillian, we thought it was important enough to highlight that her last name was Butt until she recently got married. Anyway, she scored goals. So anyway, moving on to actual soccer. I guess we'll get back to the actual soccer. So it's important to note that Brisbane Roar absolutely destroyed the Melbourne Victory in a 6-0 victory for Brisbane. I was going to try to figure out some sort of pun about the victory not being victorious, but it took too much time and I didn't actually care. So... So in the 39th minute, Yallop gets a weirdly dropped ball. Like, it came from a really high height at about the 20-yard line, and she gets a solid touch to bring the ball down, which was impressive because, again, the ball was dropped from a significant height. A ball comes that high at me, I don't know what to do. It takes a lot of control because it could hit your knee, it could hit your thigh, and if you don't get it just right when you're bringing it down, it could bounce off. Anyway, there's a lot of things. Then she does this awesome cutback through her own leg. She nutmegs herself and then slams the ball to the far post.
Self-meg.
I mean, you'd think it'd be dumb, but it was incredible. And the ball actually hits the post and then finds the back of the goal, which was really unfortunate for the victory keeper because it probably could have not gotten the goal. Anyway, during all of this, a defender was basically glued to Tamika Yallop the entire time, and she was also fairly far away from the goal, and her quick control of the ball and her accuracy on the shot was, as Jillian likes to say, nutso butso.
Indeed. Indeed it was. Nutso butso. Nutso butso. It's my Australian version of that.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Doesn't sound that much different. It was a really great goal. I think it was actually the goal of the week, perhaps, when it happened.
Twas indeed.
Twas. So way to go, Tamika Yallop. It's getting better every time.
It's so
stronger.
Good.
What a pick, Anna. Well done. Mate. All right, I'm done. Okay. Anyway, keeping in the Australian vein.
Yeah.
My number two. Someone we all know and love. And by that, I mean we've talked about her on one pod previously. Michelle Heyman's brace in Canberra versus Western Sydney FC. She's back. What if I did the entire pick in an Australian accent? I couldn't do it.
But it'd be incredible.
But she's back, Michelle Heyman. Wow, wow, wow. So excited. So I just have to ask, who was slapping all up on those Wanderers this week? Those Western Sydney Wanderers? It was Michelle Heyman again. Woo! These are her fifth and sixth goals of the season. And this shit just started in like late December. So like, way to fucking go, Michelle Heyman. What a comeback.
Well, I was just going to mention in terms of her comeback on, I follow like every soccer player under the sun on Instagram, you know, as you do. And on her Instagram today, she like wrapped her leg. She like jumped up on a punching bag. She's hugging a punching bag with her legs and then doing sit-ups. And then she, when she's doing sit-ups, she's like punching the bag. I don't get it. I don't get
what?
It.
What? Like a hanging punching bag?
Yes.
What?
I'll send it to you later. I'll post it on our Instagram.
We'll post it on the podgram.
Because what?
That's
anyway,
thing.
Actual soccer stuff.
Just a reminder that Michelle Heyman took like an entire year off and came back. So how great is that? Coming out of retirement, six goals. Boom. So just in case it wasn't already clear by the number of goals I've talked about, when someone has a brace in a game, it means it's two goals. I think we've done this before, but just in case, two goals in a game. So against the Western Sydney Wanderers, I will be referring to all players on this team as Wanderers from now on.
Obviously.
So she comes out swinging or twirling in the third minute. So Laura Hughes, who is an actual baby, 19 years old, has the ball at the top of the box and finds Heyman through some Wanderers. Heyman has some fancy-ass footwork. She's surrounded on all sides. She has some fancy-ass footwork. And while turning around, then happens to, like, twirl. And as she's twirling, she shoots. And it just continues twirling after she shoots with her left foot. And it's just a fucking beaut. Goes right in. Wanderers, dejected. The goalie just literally watches it go in. There's just nothing they could have done. It was beautiful. What a twirl. Next, in the 34th minute, still first half, Nikki Flannery, who we've also mentioned a couple times. I hope that we get a pick out of her soon because she seems to be a very talented player. Nikki Flannery makes a breakaway run up the left side of the pitch. And then, like a knife through butter, which is what the announcers actually said, Flannery cuts the ball to Heyman through multiple Wanderers. Of course. And Heyman is right fucking there. All she has to do is take a couple of strides and she slots it to the right of the goalie. Chef's kiss, bibbiz. So good. And then Canberra goes on to defeat Western Sydney with an own goal by the Wanderers in the 41st minute. Womp womp. Sucks to suck. But what a comeback from Michelle Heyman. What a queen. So dope. You go. It's so great. We're so pumped. She's just really great. I'm just so excited to see what the rest of the season has in store for her, because we're still in like the first month, because this was at the end of January when this game took place, and it's not so but so, if you will. So just really exciting shit happening in Australia right now.
Okay. You know how Jillian was talking about Aston Villa earlier? Well, let me tell you how they got destroyed in my number two hat pick. Okay.
Ruined. Ruined.
So my number two hat pick is Chelsea FC. Particularly in the January 27th game versus Aston Villa, but also just like as a whole. So, I mean, do we talk about this team a lot? Yes. Is it because they're outrageously good this season? Also, yes. Are you going to deal with it because it's our podcast and we talk about who we want? Still, yes. So on January 27th, Chelsea crushed Aston Villa 4-0. Every goal was scored by a different player, which I love. So we see two goals in the first half and two goals in the second. There were a lot of good chances from Chelsea and maybe like one or two from Aston Villa. But even though there were a lot of good chances, I'm only going to be focusing on the goals because they were good and I want to talk about them. Anyway,
yeah.
The first goal comes from Sam Kerr in the third minute. I mean, of course, Sam Kerr, but also the third minute. So after a bad clearance by Aston Villa, Girl Wrighton gets the ball to Neve Charles, who then services a ball into the 18, where after yet another bad clearance by Aston Villa, the ball falls at the feet of Sam Kerr. So if we've taught you anything about Sam Kerr, then you know that it's a terrible idea to get the ball anywhere near Sam Kerr in a goal because she's a scoring machine. So this was just like real bad by Aston Villa. Kerr one-touch volleys the ball with so much spin that there was absolutely no chance of the keeper getting to it. It was a left-footed shot that like swerves in the air. And when you're watching it, the swerve is very slight, but you can like see the spin even from the far away camera angle.
It was so intense.
Yeah. It was like just right of center and under the crossbar. And just, wow, no one was going to stop that. I don't care who you are. You could be the best keeper in the world. And the chances of you stopping that are slim to none. It was beautiful. Second goal comes in the 35th minute from Bethany England. This chance starts with a ball sent out wide to Sam Kerr by Jesse Fleming. There was like a bunch of other passes before we finally get to the assist, most of which involve Jesse Fleming, and I'll get back to her. But Sam Kerr has the ball on the far side of the pitch and sends a beautiful ball into the six for England. Beth England, not the country England, because I really don't feel like I needed to explain that, but I did. Here we are.
Thanks for that, Anna.
I don't know. We were talking about Wales earlier. You know, just want to be thorough. You know,
just so that we're clear, I was talking about Wales, the country, and not the animal that lives in the ocean.
How confusing would that be? So Beth England is actually behind the defender marking her, but jumps up and scores a beautiful header, putting Chelsea up 2-0 just before halftime. And that goal by Beth England, first of all, was just beautiful, but it was also just like really technically like what you want to see from a forward in that kind of a position. So it was good. But before I get into second half goals, I want to talk a little bit about Jessie Fleming. She's a 22-year-old Canadian international. She played at UCLA. She made her first international appearance for Canada at 15 years old.
What?
She's getting to play, since she was 15, but also now she's been getting to play alongside some of the best players in the world. And this game really showed how good that has been for her. Mm-hmm. I mean, not only does she play against like the greatest of all time, Christine Sinclair, on the regular with Canada, and will be in the She Believes Cup coming up, but we'll get to that later. She is now playing alongside Sam Kerr and Fran Kirby and Girl Wrighton and Melanie Leupolz and Millie Bright and like so many other incredible players. And so I just wanted to talk about her a little bit because Fleming was involved in a lot of the chances Chelsea had, and I'm just really excited to see what more she's going to be doing because she's only 22, so she can really only go up from here. Okay, back to goals. Second half, Pernilla Harder, 68th minute. This goal is actually off of a corner kick. It's a short service to Wrighton, who gets the ball to Harder, who's just outside of the 18. Harder, I was going to make another pun here about how hard she kicks it, but
I was waiting for it.
But I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm letting you know that I thought about it, but I'm not. So Harder kicks the ball with a lot of power, like so much power that it gets through all of the players in the box and sneaks into the lower right corner of the goal, basically untouched. And it was a pretty heavily trafficked box because it was the corner, and where does like the ball is obviously going to go to the goal. So shortly after Pernilla Harder's goal, Chelsea has a free kick set piece opportunity about 25 yards out from the goal, which is just a super dangerous place to give up a free kick, especially against Chelsea, who has been dominating out of their last five games. They've won all five and they're now in the finals for the Conti Cup. I mean,
I'm pretty sure they're unbeaten for like a really long streak. Like,
I think it's 12 games right now. 12? Yeah, they're ridiculous. But babyface Wrighton takes the free kick, which goes over basically everyone in the box. But Magdalena Eriksson manages to get a foot on it at the back post, and it goes straight past the keeper to the far post. Wrighton was also incredibly involved in a lot of the chances. And I mean, I just mentioned the last two where she was involved. So that's also worth noting. But we hadn't really talked about Jessie Fleming, so I want to give her some attention rather than Wrighton. In all fairness, we only talked about Wrighton because she has a baby face and looks like an infant. But whatever. I mentioned that these goals were scored by four different players, which is dope. But not only that, they were scored by every position except for the keeper. So Kerr and England are both forwards. Harder is a midfielder and Eriksson is a defender. And we love a well-rounded team. They're unstoppable right now. And it's fun to watch. Anyway, we have honorable mentions.
Yay! Honorable mentions! So many of them! Because there is so much good shit happening in soccer, we just couldn't decide. So we're giving you all of the mentions this week. I don't know how I'm going to insert a drum roll. Maybe I'll insert a drum roll before every single one of them. I don't know. But I guess it remains to be seen. But since you're probably listening to this once it's edited, you'll know. So how fun is this that I'm talking? Great. So all of this is NWSL news. Actually, I should probably say that. NWSL mentions. And for our first mention, got the preseason starting. So cool. Except for Sky Blue FC, because it snowed like a million feet there. Yeah. And I guess Washington Spirit. I guess Chicago as well.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like that. So as of recording, We're like 3 to 4 days into the preseason, which is dope. Very exciting. The preseason rosters have been released, and it's going to be really exciting to see which names like actually stick around for the season coming up. Alex Morgan is currently training with the Orlando Pride, which is exciting, given that she had the COVID very recently. So glad to see her back. So dope that they are starting the season. Yay.
Love to see it. Now, more NWSL news. Is Sydney LaRue's contract extension. This really doesn't seem like a whole lot, but she has a 3-year contract extension with the Orlando Pride. She doesn't have any plans on retiring anytime soon. She wants to continue playing professionally as an example for her children, which is, I don't even like kids, and that's admirable. I mean, she wants to show her children that they can follow their dreams and make it.
Ugh. So inspiring.
God, follow your dreams, little Dwyer children. Follow your dreams.
They're so cute. You should follow Sydney LaRue on Instagram because she posts about how, and like her son, I think it's Cassius, he's playing soccer now and it's like so cute.
She also wanted this contract extension because she still holds out hope that she'll get called up to the national team. But given that she didn't get a lot of playing time just because of 2020 after she gave birth to her daughter, right. She's hoping that in these next couple years she's able to showcase that she's still capable of being a badass.
She was on the 2015 World Cup squad, and I believe the 2016 Olympic roster, maybe? I don't remember.
I think she was already pregnant by that point.
I think that you're right about that, but was on the 2015 World Cup squad, for sure.
I mean, I could do a quick Google. She was not on the 2016 World Cup team.
Glad we cleared that up. Moving along. Thanks for that great honorable mention, Anna. 20 minutes later.
Shut up.
Isn't it fun being friends? All right. OL Reign has announced a partnership with Starbucks. So this is a big deal because, not because we're over here like loving corporations or anything like that, but because this is another big sponsor paying attention to women's sports, and that is awesome. That's dope as hell, especially because it's a partnership with a specific team and not just like the entire league in general. It's like sort of like a laser focus on the fact that they're like, this is cool and we want to be a part of this. Very exciting to see. So some good recognition for OL Reign and good recognition for the league in general. Thanks, Starbucks.
And they had a thing, I think today, where if you went to a very specific Starbucks in Tacoma, you got a free OL Reign magnet with your order.
Yeah, I feel like if you were wearing like gear
OL Reign stuff, yeah.
Yeah. That's Which so is, cool.
I mean, that's a way to get more people to go to Starbucks as if they don't already, but whatever.
Yeah, it's just cool to have that kind of, I mean, Starbucks is literally like
huge.
It's huge name recognition. It's a big corporation. To have them invested in women's sports, we love to see it.
Yeah, we do. We do love to see it. That's why I wrote it down.
Did you write that down?
The OL Reign announced partnership. I wrote that down.
Oh, that's why you wrote the thing down. I was like, you didn't write down, we love to see it. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Okay, so our next honorable mention is the NWSL schedule, which has come out for the 2021 season. The Challenge Cup starts April 9th. Which is right around the corner. And then there is a 24-game regular season that will begin on May 15th.
Wow.
For the players, but yeah. It does mean more soccer for us. So you win some, you lose some.
That's and by how sports that, go. It's us winning.
Yes, it's us winning and their bodies suffering. I am interested to see how it goes down if they are doing the Olympics, because that's a good chunk of players from all teams that are going to be gone. And I think that's why the season extends until the championship on November 20th. So there's like a little block that gets where like the NWSL stops, and then playoffs start on November 6th, which is a happy birthday present to me.
Everyone, it's my birthday. So
thanks, NWSL. I never get women's soccer on my birthday.
Anna will be 30.
You'll be 30 before me.
No one had to know that. No, I'm just kidding. I don't care. I can't wait to be 30 because it just means that I'm closer to the point in life where I can be louder and not give a fuck. So
I feel like I will be at the point in life where when I say things, people won't be like, oh, it's because you're young. And so that's exciting.
How nice.
People will listen to us.
It's because I've got wrinkles on my face now. Well, we can't wait for the She Believes Cup, which is coming up in February. Just, I think we'll be covering it on our next pod because I believe that it starts February. Actually, we might be watching one of the games for our pod next time because I believe it starts February 18th. So, cool. But there are lots and lots of call-ups from the NWSL on some She Believes Cup rosters. We have teams from the United States, Brazil, Canada, and Argentina playing in this tournament. Very exciting.
Yes.
So I'm going to hit you up with some of the folks from the United States and Brazil, and then Anna's going to tell you the rest. Representing the Houston Dash, we've got Jane Campbell and Christy Mewis. Household names at this point. We brought them up a lot. Very, very dope. North Carolina Courage, we've got Casey Murphy and Lynn Williams. Casey Murphy is a keeper who got traded from OL Reign to come to the North Carolina Courage, which led to Crystal Dunn being a Portland Thorn.
Yeah.
Moving on. We got Megan Rapinoe from OL Reign, Alex Morgan from The Pride. Was surprised to see Allie Krieger and Ashlyn Harris not called up, but that could be for some kind of reason.
Yeah, Vlatko Andonovski said to not read too much into it, although every news person that I follow on the Twitter was like, where are they?
From Racing Louisville, we've got Emily Fox, who is just a training player, but she was the number one NWSL draftee, as we pointed out last pod. From the Chicago Red Stars, we've got Tierna Davidson, Julie Ertz, and Mal Pugh, who is also a training player. From Sky Blue, her former team, we've got Carly Lloyd and Midge Purse. From the Washington Spirit, we've got Kelly O'Hara and Emily Sonnet. And then finally, from the Thorns, with a load, we've got Crystal Dunn, Lindsay Horan, Becky Sauerbrunn, and Sophia Smith. So very excellent to see so many great players from the United States playing for the United States.
Yeah. And that's not all the players that have been called up for the Ozone's national team.
It's just the folks in the NWSL.
Yeah.
From Brazil, we have Marta, who plays for the Orlando Pride. And we've got Dabinha, who plays for the North Carolina Courage. Great. So dope. It's going to be really, really cool to see them play. So.
And then from Canada, we have, from the Dash, Alicia Chapman, Nichelle Prince, and Sophie Schmidt. From the unnamed Kansas City team, we have Diana Matheson and Desiree Scott. From OL Reign, we have Quinn. From the Orlando Pride, we have Jordan Listro and Aaron McLeod. I guess I could tell you what positions these guys play, but I'm not doing that. Anyway, from the Red Stars, we have Bianca St. George's. From Sky Blue, we have Kaylin Sheridan and Evelyn Bean. And then from the Thorns, we have the GOAT, Christine Sinclair. The other team that's playing is Argentina, and they only have one player that's in the NWSL from the unnamed Kansas City team, Mariana Larroquette. And then it's interesting because former NWSL player Stefania Bonini was left off the roster, which speculation is that it's most likely due to her speaking out against the conditions for the Argentine women's national team, and that is some bullshit. And so that's just an unfortunate thing. And hopefully there's more attention brought to that. She's a great player and it would have been nice to see her. Canada and Argentina were invited to this after Japan and England both backed out because of COVID stuff. But it's going to be exciting to have Canada because that's our biggest rival. And those games get dirty.
Oh my God. Do they?
They're so good. And it's going to be, I think, even more exciting now because the players from the U.S. Women's National Team in Canada that aren't in the NWSL are playing for top quality teams in Europe. We've got players, I mean, we've talked about Manchester City, Manchester United. We also have Canadian players who play for OL and for PSG, Paris Saint-Germain. And there's like a French way to say that one, but I'm not going to try because I'm not going to sit here and embarrass myself with pronunciations in different languages.
I will. Saint-Germain. Paris Saint-Germain. Germain.
I could ask the people that I know that speak French how to actually pronounce that, and I just don't.
That would be too logical.
Yeah, no, I'm not here for that.
Super dope. So excited for the She Believes Cup. Hope that they do it safely. Because last pod, our honorable mention was the Noble with the NWHL. And sadly, their season has already come to a close because of COVID stuff. So hope that this tournament is done safely with the players' health and safety and the safety of all the people helping out as a top priority.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Another mention. We've got Naomi Osaka becoming an owner of the North Carolina Courage. We love to see this for those of you plebes that don't know. The thing is, I definitely would say plebes, so I'm glad you said that. Naomi Osaka is one of best tennis players in the world. She has won 3 Grand Slams, and she is the highest paid female athlete in 2020, according to Forbes magazine. So we love to see her investing all of that money into other women's sports. So it's also a wee bit irritating that a woman has to invest in women rather than just being, you know, like a general buy-in from everyone. We wish everyone would invest in women, including women, but also other people besides women.
Yeah, it shouldn't be up to women to invest in women.
Right. So, and also, Naomi Osaka is like pretty young. She's like a bebe.
Yeah. She is a very, very young person. Let's see how old she actually is, because I can do that. She's 23. Yikes.
Wow.
That's so impressive. That's cool.
That you have enough money to do that and also have enough talent.
God, that's just like so impressive. Anyway, okay, so she had a really good, I mean, she's obviously interviewed about this a bajillion times, and she had a really good response as to like why she was doing this. And so she said, quote, "My investment in the North Carolina Courage is far beyond just being a team owner. It's an investment in amazing women who are role models and leaders in their fields and inspirations to all young female athletes. I also admire everything the Courage does for diversity and equality in the community, which I greatly look forward to supporting and driving forward."
Snaps for that.
So good. I also just like seeing, like, in the same way that Serena Williams is part owner of Angel City and having Naomi Osaka being part owner of North Carolina Courage, I like seeing players from other sports investing mm-hmm. in other sports. I think yes. that acknowledging that they're all athletes and it requires investment is important. And yeah, it's fun.
We love women building up other women.
What is it? Empowered women empower women.
That feels right. That feels right.
Anyway, yeah.
We're going to go with that. Yeah. So that is our NWSL news brief for you. Just giving you all the lowdown on what's happening in the soccer world here in America. So very excited for all of this stuff. Super pumped. Can't wait. I'm sorry. This was so aggressive. So the time has come. The walrus said for us to do our number ones. So funny. All right. My number one hat pick this week is probably, I don't know why I said probably.
I think it's because that's from before. Yes. Well, just
my number one this week is definitely the U.S. women's national team 6-0 win over Colombia on January 22nd, because what a match. Look. Did we expect the U.S. women's national team to win this? Yes. Was Colombia already super tired? Yes. Am I beating a dead horse with this one? Also, yes. And am I going to talk about it anyway because it was mwah, mwah, double shift skis? Yes. Yes, it was.
We talk the same way a lot.
Okay. So I will say that going in, we did expect a little bit more from Colombia this match because they welcomed some players that had previously been benched due to COVID concerns. And for the first half, I would say that they definitely put up a better fight than the game on the 18th. I think that there was a little more pressure. We had to work a little more. And yet, here we are with a 6-0 win for the U.S. women's national team because hashtag goals, literally. Let's jump in. Let's do this. So, in the third minute, we have a lot of goals that happened in the third minute this week, I've noticed. Wow. Yeah. How quick.
All, what, two of them? Did you have a goal in the third minute? Oh, Michelle Heyman
had a goal in the third minute. Yep.
I listened to what you said. It's fine.
I feel respected. In the third minute, Rose Lavelle finds Allie Krieger, who makes a run up the right side of the box. Towards the corner. She passes the ball, or should I say, slices through the Colombian defense to find Katarina Macario, who basically then kind of on a volley shins it in. It's beautiful and a first goal during Katarina Macario's first start for the U.S. women's national team. It's absolute soccer gold. We love it. We love it. Just as an aside, completely love Katarina Macario for this team. She is a very hungry player out there. Very confident. It's just super great to have her on the squad now that she is eligible and to see her playing. And I can tell that Vladko Andonovsky loves her.
She's also getting good attention as an Afro-Latina, getting noticed. I follow a lot of different Instagram accounts, as I've mentioned. But I saw one today that was like the 5 best Afro-Latina women in sports right now. And she was on the list.
That's so cool.
And so it's exciting to like actually see some inclusion on this team.
So just really excited to see this from her. Next up, because that's only the first of so many goals that will happen in this game. So next we have sort of, I would say it's an unseemly goal. It is not really all that pretty, but it is by Megan Rapinoe, who before this set of games against Colombia hadn't really played for like a year. So we are gonna talk about it, okay? So Rose Lavelle is doing Rose Lavelle things.
Standard.
In the right corner of the pitch, she crosses it back centrally to like the outside of the 18-ish. And like it hits a couple of players on the way. And when it's settling, it almost looks like a Colombian player will intercept, except that Emily Sana is there to like, I don't know, hip check it to Megan Rapinoe. I am very unclear on what part of her body knocked the ball to Megan Rapinoe, but it happened. Rapinoe gets the ball and then gets the goal off of a tiny deflection from a Colombian player. So she's kicking it in and then it doinks.
That should be the name of this podcast. Doinks. Doinks. Doinks and zoinks.
Yep. So it's messy, but it counted, and it's Megan Rapinoe. So welcome back, baby. So happy to have her back on the squad. Then our third goal comes in the 43rd minute as somehow takes down Sammy Mui in the box.
I hadn't read this until just now.
You do not hurt the Tower of Power. You
no,
do
not. I agree.
Also, but like, also props for being able to take her down. Like,
I believe I texted you and I said, if anybody hurts her, I'll sue.
With all the money we have.
Oh, yeah. That we make off this podcast.
Uh-huh. She was fine in the end, but we got a penalty out of it. And as she always does in a penalty kick situation, Megan Rapinoe finishes beautifully. She puts it away to the bottom right corner. It's clinical. It's classic. Boom. Done. 3-0 at the half. We love to see it.
Hell yeah.
Yes. So the second half rolls around. And in the 60th minute, Sam Mewis crosses the ball to Lynn Williams, who is just kind of perfectly placed in the center left. Center right. I don't know. She's somewhere.
She's just off center.
She's just off center of the box. And she heads it right past Sandra Sepulveda for the 4th goal for the United States. It's a little controversial, as we've mentioned, for the U.S. women's national team to keep putting up a fight when they are so clearly going to win. And I think at this point it was very clear that they were going to win. But, and you know, we've talked about it with the USA versus Thailand game in the 2019 World Cup. There are other instances of the U.S. just, as someone say, like laying it on. But I think that it shows respect for the other team. They're not just going to go easy on them. I think it makes the other team better and stronger. So I'm actually really glad that they just kept fighting and kept pushing through the entire game. It may look disrespectful, but I think in the end it shows that they are taking their opponent seriously and they're playing as hard as they can for the full 90. Mm-hmm. So moving on, just as an aside. So this is perhaps my favorite goal of the game because of how it takes place. So Crystal Dunn, who came in as a forward, which I love to see, Vlatko. Yes, thank you. We love the versatility. So Crystal Dunn takes a corner in the 73rd minute. And it looks like Julie Ertz might have like doinked it, flicked it with her with her head. But off the volley, it finds Lindsay Horan's foot. She then proceeds to score without looking. Like, she catches it on the volley and just raises her leg up and, like, just it goes in and she does not look.
Which that's is, like, some, like, Tobin Heath stuff, too.
It is. We love it. But they also played together on the Thorns.
And so, at PSG.
And PSG. Paris Saint-Germain. So I love a no-look goal. I love that shit. So way to go. Very cool. And then finally, I don't know if you were counting, but that was goal number 5. We're on to the 6th goal, the final goal. So finally, in the 86th minute, we have a goal from Midge Purse, which is also her first international goal. So 2 players in this game get their first international goals.
So good.
So good. We love it.
You can burp.
I feel like we are children in this episode because it's like, Tamika Yalop's last name used to be Butt. Jillian burped.
Listen, both of those are funny things, and if you don't think so, take your humor elsewhere.
Get out of here. Okay. Okay, so we have a goal for Midge Purse. She also comes in. She's typically a defender, but she also comes in up top, which we love to see. Vlatko, thank you for utilizing the versatility of these dope-ass players. Just as another aside, I'm full of them tonight. One argument for this is because if the Olympics do happen in July, there is only an 18-person roster, which is nutso butso. And because there are so many good players, we've talked repeatedly about the deep bench of this team. It's going to be a very difficult decision to narrow that down. So arguably, the more versatile you are, like Midge Purse, Crystal Dunn, who have deep experience both as defenders, as forwards, in multiple positions, the more valuable you will be on a roster where there aren't very many spots available.
Especially with Tobin Heath out for another 10 or 11 weeks with an ankle injury.
Jesus fucking Christ. Hate it. Hate it! Anyways. So Carly Lloyd gets the ball from Lindsay Horan and is able to settle it eventually. She cuts back around in the box and finds Midge Purse. She kind of chips it nicely to Midge Purse, who gives it a little forehead kiss and gets it in the goal. I wouldn't actually call this a doink because it was really smooth. And that's why I'm calling it a kiss and not a doink. So I also do want to say, like, major, major shout out to Sepulveda, the keeper for Colombia. She put up such a fight over the course of this game and the game on the 18th and worked incredibly hard. After this point, she did get subbed off at the very end for a teeny tiny baby goalie who was like 17.
Yeah, she's young. And it wasn't even her first cap. She played like 3 or 4 games and she's only 17.
Yeah, it's a very young Colombian team. I mean, all in all, what a game. And just as an aside, again with the asides, doinks and asides.
I was just going to say doinks aside.
That's good. Doinks aside. Remember that we were missing some very big names from these games against Colombia. Alex Morgan was out, probably due to previous COVID concerns. Mm-hmm. Tobin Heath, who is injured. Devastating. And Kristen Press. So Morgan and Press will be back for the She Believes Cup, which just adds another wrinkle. But way to fucking go to all these players on the U.S. Women's National Team. It was a great couple of games.
Love to see it. I'm going to be talking about Americans too. but we're talking about Americans abroad in my number one hat pick. Woohoo! Press and Lavelle scored goals on their respective Manchester teams and a full 90 for Abby Dahlkemper with Manchester City. We're going to talk about it all. So, first and foremost, most important, Kristen Press is back, baby!
Yes!
She was out sick and with like a little injury maybe, but mostly sick for a lot of December and a little bit of January. Again, I mentioned it before, wasn't COVID. So, Manchester United played Everton on like the 30th or the 31st. I don't know. The important part is that Kristen Press scored. So Press had some great chances throughout the first half, including one situation where the line ref called her offside. But she was arguably not offside. Anyway.
Bitch!
Ella Toon actually scored a goal pretty early, which is great, but not what we're talking about. So, moving on. In the 42nd minute, after a lot of forward pressure by Manchester United, Ladd finds Press at the top of the 18. And Kristen Press moves into the 18-yard box with one defender just on her back, and then another one coming at her from like another angle. Press gets the shot off while falling down because she's trying to go completely across her body to get to the goal, and she scored. It went across the keeper. Far post. Impressive goal. Impressive player. There's really not much more to say about how incredible she is. So, moving on.
So good.
The other Manchester team, Manchester City, played West Ham, who I would just like to say was wearing their dopest of uniforms. West Ham was. Not that it particularly matters, but they were like as highlighter pink as your pants.
I'm wearing really bright pink pants tonight. Like, yeah. Very bright.
Yeah. And that's what their uniforms look like. And I just really want to talk about it. Anyway, it was the same weekend as the Manchester United game that I just mentioned. And I'm just going to break up the goals with a shout out to Abby Dahlkemper, who played her first match with Manchester City, and she played the full 90. So she's been an integral player for the North Carolina Courage for the past few seasons. Ugh. She was also the only player on the U.S. Women's National Team to play every minute of every game in the 2019 Women's World Cup, which has to be exhausting because all those games are very close to one another.
Yeah.
And Manchester City isn't really lacking in the defense department before she got there. They have Steph Houghton, have Alex Greenwood, and Lucy freaking Bronze. It wasn't like they had a bad back line.
Right.
Abby Dahlkemper is another world-class defender that they are just adding to a line of world-class defenders.
Cool.
I mean, it was just a really good move by Manchester City, honestly, because now they just have like a wall back there. She's also really good at servicing balls, whether that's a free kick or like part of a clearance. And we saw that a little bit in this game with a couple of balls that she sent up. But I think that'll be really great for Man City. And what's more is I think that'll be really good for particularly Lucy Bronze and Steph Houghton and Alex Greenwood, who all play for the Lionesses, because they're going to take the way that she plays offensively back to their national teams, which is good for them, not good for us. It was good to see Abby Dahlkemper playing for Man City. I think it's a good move for her. It's a new challenge. It's all the good stuff, blah, blah, blah. You go, Abby Dahlkemper. Rose Lavelle. We've already talked about her in the U.S. Women's National Team game, but we love a Lavelle goal. So Manchester City was already up 3-0 when Lavelle scored, but I'm going to talk about it anyway. Rose Lavelle didn't start the game. She actually got subbed in on the 65th minute, and then she scored 6 minutes later, which I feel like that is just like the most Rose Lavelle impact of all Rose Lavelle impacts. She comes onto the field and is like, you left me off the field for 65 minutes. I'll show you what I can do. Fuck faces.
I really want to see Rose Lavelle saying fuck face.
And then she scores. So 71st minute, West Ham is trying to get the ball out of their defensive third. The ball is passed to Mayumi Pacheco, who stumbles over herself and falls, which was really unfortunate because like the ball was, they were trying to get it out wide. West Ham was trying to get it out wide so that they could move forward. But Pacheco just like trips over her own feet. I don't really know. But good old Rosie Lavelle saw an opportunity and took it into the box. All the while, like three or four defenders are just like seeing what a terrible mistake has been made, and they're trying to hardcore retcon. And they are just like running back towards Rose Lavelle and are like, oh shit, something bad has happened. How can we fix? And then Lavelle gets a shot off straight over the head of Mackenzie Arnold, the West Ham goalie, and puts Man City up 4-0, which basically just shuts West Ham up and the game is over for them. Roosevelt was like, you made a mistake. Not again. You will not do it again. Stay on your feet, you dingus. But yeah, it was great.
Doink.
Anyway, that's my number one hat pick. It was a goddamn delight.
GD delight, everyone. How wonderful. Wow, America is so cool when it comes to women's soccer and
when it comes to
else.
One thing and one thing only.
Yep.
It's the only time we're ever patriotic is when it comes to women's soccer, except for that one World Cup that we went to a lot of games at that one movie theater.
Yeah, but that was still soccer,
yeah.
To be fair.
It was still soccer, but it was men, which...
It was men. Ew. It's fine. We didn't... It's all we had.
It's true. It is true.
But the United States choked, as per usual. So.
That was the furthest they ever made it, though.
Yeah, and they still choked.
Listen, I know. I don't like the men's team as much as the next person.
Maybe they'll be good one day. Maybe they'll win a World Cup.
Maybe they'll win a thing.
Anything at all.
Just like one thing. A single one thing. Maybe one day. Anyway.
Maybe.
We'll post some of these hat picks on our Instagram, so you can follow us at Hat Picks Pod. You can also follow us on Twitter, where I sometimes remember to post things at Hat Picks Pod. In all fairness, I don't even go on my own Twitter. So, I mean, I post there sometimes. Anyway, you can also send us an email at hatpickspod@gmail.com.
And
I think
great.
That's all we've got.
Yeah, it's just been, there's some, because the WSL, the W League are happening, as well as some international play. Sometimes we would comb through everything and like barely be able to get out our picks. We'd be like, I guess we'll count this. And now it's like we're like having to decide like what we do. There were so many other things that we, you know, could have picked. Like there was one, like I was just thinking like while you were talking about Manchester City, like Caroline Weir had a brace in a game and then scored it in another game, like the next game. I mean, she was on fire, and we've talked about her before being super good. And I was like, wow, like, and I was like, oh, well, I guess we've kind of talked about Caroline Weir before. But we also talked about Michelle Heyman before. It's like, well, I guess we're going to flip a coin for that one.
Yeah.
So
Chelsea won yesterday 4-0. I texted Jillian. I was watching it on my phone at work, and I left my phone and I went downstairs to go to the bathroom and like get water. And so I was gone for maybe like a total of 4 minutes because I also have a habitual problem of talking to people in an effort to not do work. Anyway. But I was gone for like 4 minutes and I came back upstairs and Chelsea had scored 2 goals. It was 2-0 when I left and it was 4-0 when I came back.
There's a lot happening, and I think the players around the world are just getting better and better, and it's so great and we love to see it.
And Everton made some hardcore money moves, getting Jill Scott back, and they also signed somebody else. That was exciting. And I think that they're going to potentially be dangerous moving forward. I think that they had some missing pieces, but I think that it's going to be interesting to see what they have.
We hope it encourages you to go out and watch some of this amazing shit that's happening. I mean, obviously you can rely on us to get the best of the best, but like,
obviously
there's so much other good stuff out there too.
We're here to serve.
Yeah, I guess.
We're mostly here because we wanted to talk about soccer more and we needed a good reason to do it.
And thank you. If you've made it to the end of this episode, then you have made it to the end of our 10th episode. You have stuck around. We appreciate you. We're very grateful for you allowing us to...
You're an angel, truly.
Live our best lives on this podcast. Thanks for the support.
We appreciate it, and we appreciate you.
And we'll see you in a couple weeks for that She Believes Cup episode, and... looking forward to many, 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 many more episodes of soccer.
Tens more episodes.
And on that note.
Okay.
I'm Jillian.
I'm Anna.
And this has been
the Hat Picks Podcast.
Yay.